FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 7/11/19. That's always a lucky day for me. Might be a lucky day for you, too, if you enter our contest to predict the price of Bitcoin, what it will be midnight on July 20th. You have to beat me. My projection is 6650. I'm already been left in the dust, shows what I know. You have to send in your entry no later than 11:59 p.m. on July 14th. Prizes. If we hit 1,000 entries, and I'm not sure we're going to do it, but if we do, you get 100 pre-1965, 90% silver quarters. And if we don't, you'll only get 40. That's the grand prize winner. The first five runners up will each receive 10 pre-1965 quarters if we hit the 1,000 entries, or only one if we don't. Email us kl@kerrylutz.com. Put Bitcoin in your subject line. Let us know what you think. And hey, this is only the first of many contests, but enter this one. I think this one's an easier one than most, but well, maybe not. Our next one will be to guess the price of gold or silver at a certain date. So again, you want to enter it now, kl@kerrylutz.com. All entries must be received no later than 11:59 p.m. of July 14th. So that's 3 days from now. Anyways, life is always a contest. It's always a gamble. You never know what's going to happen. We've been betting for years on precious metals going up, on inflation, on all sorts of things that just haven't occurred. Why they haven't? Well, we could debate that for a long time. But Bill Baruch is with us now. Bill, you are president, CEO of Blue Line Futures, which is a futures dealer, broker, and on the Chicago Board of Trade, was that?
Yeah, we're located at the Chicago Board of Trade. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, so looking at these markets, it looks like the Fed's definitely going to cut rates. It's just a question of how much and how often they do it in the next few months. You know, it's a funny thing, Bill. We got the greatest economy in 50 years. Employment is up. Everything is wonderful. Why would you be cutting rates at that point? You should be raising rates, right?
Well, you know, looks like they're going to come in with a safety cut. And I mean, we've seen how the market reacted in December. And QT was something this market could not handle. We've seen growth slow, and really it's concerning with the trade war. And I think they want to take back that December cut, or sorry, that December hike. But ultimately, too, there's a lot of uncertainties lingering with the trade war. And if it's something that continues to go, I think they just want to get ahead of it and see how the market digests it. It's why I think 25 basis points at this point would be warranted, and especially given what Fed Chair Powell said in his testimony yesterday. It's pretty expected now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically baked in the cake, as we like to say, right? So we know it's coming.
Yes.
It's just a question of when is it going to be here, or how much, rather, the magnitude of the cut. And so the economy is weakening, but from the job numbers, you really don't see it. Yeah, layoffs perhaps have picked up a little bit, but new claims for unemployment insurance continue at rock bottom levels. How do you kind of reconcile the two?
You know, one thing that I thought one really stood out the most to me on Friday's numbers was the manufacturing payrolls. I mean, we've seen this be the component, the shoe that was dropping for the entire part of this year. Maybe not necessarily here in the U.S. right away, but we saw it with numbers in Germany and Europe. We've seen it through numbers in China contracting. That has been the big concern because it was going to make its way here to the United States. And the manufacturing data over the past several months has been underwhelming at best. The manufacturing payroll surprised the upside on Friday. And I think that's something that can't go unnoticed because they're not, you know, hiring new employees if they don't see a bright future. And then the ISM numbers earlier last week were not as bad as expected. So there is some questions here. Maybe the economy is starting to turn a corner. In fact, coming out of that number Friday and into the early part of this week, as of yesterday morning, just before the release of Fed Chair Powell's statement, we saw the probabilities for the Fed to leave rates unchanged actually hit near 5%. That was the first time that those probabilities came into play in over a month.
Wow.
As soon as he released his statement, those got priced out, and then we saw as much of as high as last night and before the CPI number this morning, those probabilities of a 50 basis points now come into play, a move up to about 30%. That's fallen back a bit since the CPI number today. But, you know, all in all, it's really just about that 25 basis points that's fully baked into the cake, as right. as you had noted it.
Wait, what's the what did the CPI number come in at?
Well, I watched the core number most closely. It excludes food and energy. It came in at 2.1% year over year. And that was a tenth higher than expected. Ultimately, it's that little bit stronger read was something that can't go unnoticed, because it's going to hold back the Fed from that path of cutting rates. More important than just that year over year was the month over month that came in much stronger than expected, but it came in at 3/10. It was higher than the 2/10 expected. But what it also was is the best number since January 2018. So inflation is maybe poking its you know, what it detailed as ugly head out of the, you know, out right now. So that's something that if it starts to pick up a bit, then it's going to hold the Fed back from cutting. But for now, this is just one number. But, you know, I like to think three is a trend. So let's see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how July looks, too.
You know, it's an interesting thing because the Fed is expected to do something that they really are not equipped to do. They really don't have the tools to do it, to keep prices stable and to keep the economy roaring ahead effectively, to keep the price and to keep prices and economic activity and employment on a positive track. I mean, really, how do they fulfill that function? Is it at all possible they can do this?
Well, as Fed Chair Powell said in his prepared remarks yesterday, the Fed will act as appropriate to sustain U.S. economic growth. And I think the two sides of the coin really could be, you know, are they going to cut rates to just draw back that hike that they had in December, which makes a lot of sense. You know, maybe it wasn't as warranted in hindsight. Or are they simply cutting because they want to get ahead of a potentially slowing economy? I think both would make sense on the 25 basis points. You know, the economy digests it and see how the numbers go from there. I don't typically or don't really necessarily agree with some of the odds we're seeing for the rate cut expectations for the entire year. We're seeing something now more than 50% probability that they cut 75 basis points by the end of December. So you know, we'd have to see how this rate cut gets digested in the economy. Where does growth go from here? Where does the trade war go from here? But, you know, if we want to get a little political about it, I do think there is, you know, some reason to believe that President Trump would like to see at least 50 basis points this year. And then we may see him try to make some trade deals. And, you know, that would get the market moving much higher in through 2020 and ahead of the elections. I mean, who wouldn't want that? I mean, yeah. in the sense of, you know, if he's trying to win an election. So that's something to kind of keep in mind as we're, you know, watching what the Fed's going to do. But it's also one of the main reasons the Fed is going to cut is uncertainties due to the trade war. So it's going to be interesting to see how the two components work together or work against each other as the year unfolds.
Yeah, it certainly will be interesting, no doubt. And really, you think the Fed has got things under control, or do you think they're in a tenuous situation?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp. is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp. has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp. is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
I think the Fed has things under control. You know, one obvious, you know, look back from now compared to 10 years, 20 years before, just generally speaking, you know, there's information has never flown so easily. I mean, there's reports on everything. Every word of every statement is digested and it's reported in many different news stations on many different fronts, many different outlets. I think that too much information is out there right now. And I think that too much information leads to, you know, more anxiety in the market or anxiety overall in the participants. So I don't think that is as warranted, but I think the Fed does have things under control from the mindset that they're just taking back a December cut, or sorry, they're taking back the December hike, or they're just trying to get in front of potential slow growth just to see how the market reacts. Remember, one of the main reasons supporting the hikes for the past 2 years has been they got to hike now so they can get ahead of any potential recession in the future. And what is this? This is exactly what everybody was calling for, the reasons for them to hike in the past. So I think we got to let it play out that way.
So this is really a very defensive kind of move, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Fed has screwed up many times in the past, and you know, you can never underestimate the Fed's ability to screw things up. So I guess what I'm saying is,
just as recently as December. I mean, you know, obviously there was some political push and pull that they wanted to look at, you know, independent. The data really hadn't turned a sour corner yet. But in hindsight, you look at it as a mistake. I mean, personally, I even wrote a piece in January that I put out calling their mistake. They made a mistake in December and they made a mistake in January. So, you know, it's I mean, they do make mistakes, and just with trading, the same thing is, it's okay to be wrong, just as long as you don't stay wrong. No matter how long you stay wrong.
Yeah, in the face of reality, right? You don't want to be wrong in the face of reality, and I think that is probably the most important thing: is fix your mistakes while they're still fixable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't compound them. And so, what have you thought about the recent run up in the price of precious metals, particularly gold?
I love it. I mean, it's so great to see, you know, just some life come back into it. One thing though, I'm missing is silver.
Yeah.
Silver's been pretty contained. That's you know, it's unfortunate to see that. I don't think it's going to be tough to see gold at 1500 without silver joining, but gold seems to be, you know, on its own path here. And I was talking to some guys in the office just this week and saying, you know, it's a market that, you know, you get these pullbacks throughout the morning sometimes, and it's almost becoming, you know, one of those markets where you just sort of close your eyes and buy the pullback. Now, obviously, you know, got to manage risk and whatnot, but it's been a nice ride higher, and we're maintaining a very, very constructive landscape. The pullbacks have stayed above 1380. I have a major 3-star support. We put research out on a daily basis for our clients. We have our support and resistance levels and our bias, but our support and resistance levels use 1, 2, and 3 stars. 3 stars are you know, fairly big, and they're defining of a trend. And it's held that 3-star level on the pullbacks, you know, and then it's been constructed to the upside. The one thing that it did lack last night in gold was it did not get out above 1432, which is the number to the upside I'm looking at, a 3-star level. We haven't been able to close above there. So a little disappointing, but if you're trading it, it's a tremendous trading range. And for now, the intermediate to long-term trend is higher and constructive.
Mm-hmm. And you're a technical trader, right? So when we look at the technicals, the fact that it was in the sideways channel for 6 years, actually more than that, but let's just call it 6 years for argument's sake. And now it just broke through that, and it broke through with such authority, and it was pretty amazing, the relative strength, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it pushed through there very, very strongly. You saw some melt-ups. I was watching, you know, trading the tape. Some of those nights that this thing was, you know, you'd see $30 spikes in pullbacks, you know, in a matter of minutes. It's a heck of a move. Again, I wish silver could join the party. It's a little disappointing not to see that.
Yeah.
But it's been a heck of a move.
Yeah. Yeah. And totally unexpected. Hey, you know, whenever you see experts surprised, right? You always see experts are surprised. The experts seem like the jilted or betrayed wife. They're always the last to know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been saying, I expect this is the year. I may even said it last time I was on your show. This is the year we're going to see 1500 gold, the land, or really 1480. The landscape is ripe for that right now. It is, you've got sovereign debt around the world at zero and in negative territory. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say one thing, and I have been a very, very bullish on U.S. treasuries for a long time. And for the first time, I'm actually buying downside exposure to capitalize on the treasury market and for rates to come off a little bit, the 10-year come off 2%, maybe the 30-year to lead that charge a bit and a little bit of a steepening curve. I like doing that in order to sort of hedge on gold a bit. Mm-hmm. I think the dollar stays fairly stable and maybe a 1-2% range. You're going to get the swings, but overall, I think that Europe is in uncertainties with trade are going to keep the dollar overall a bid. It's going to keep the pullbacks bought.
Right.
But I think it gives you a good landscape to see a little bit of a relief rally in treasury rates, but gold hold ground. So it's a little bit of a two-sided trade, but it's something I like a lot right now.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Any other markets that are shouting out at you?
You know, you got to love some of the volatility we've seen in the agriculture markets. And in fact, we're getting a big report here in about 10 minutes. But, we tend to be fairly bullish overall on ags. And I think corn definitely has some upside. Just the way things are playing out fundamentally over the past couple of months, a lot of you got a lot of wet weather. Mm-hmm. And now you have too hot and dry. And when it's all said and done, we start going into September in a couple months from now, it could be very bullish on prices.
Yeah. Hey, so what about pork? You've been watching pork?
I have been. You watch that very closely, don't you? And yes. You know what? We've seen a good, it's been a good trend down. It just can't seem to find its footing despite the African swine flu and a number of potential reasons to think this thing could rally. There will be that day. I mean, it's going to rally. I mean, mark my words, there's going to be a day where you see 10 to 20 straight sessions and hogs will be higher. But you know what? It's going to be nearly impossible to time. And that's one of the issues there.
Yeah, that is the issue for sure. Hey, so when you're looking at the African swine flu, now they're saying as much as 50% of China's hog herd has been died because the stuff, if they don't kill them and prevent the spread, they die the next day anyway. This is really alarming, isn't it?
Well, China's hog prices, which we're not seeing here in lean hogs traded on the CME, those have been surging. And that's why I think you're going to essentially see that trickle into these prices, but it's just a time, it's tough to tell you the time frame that may happen.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, the future is always uncertain. I haven't seen the price.
Just as uncertain is, are we out of the woods on seeing African swine fever here?
Yeah.
And if we could wake up one morning and you start to see reports, and that spark that lights that 10 to 20 session straight rally I was just talking about. Mm. It could happen. So again, those are tough things to time. But if you're trading this market and you're managing a risk, I mean, there's options always become something that to be able to price, take Very a shot true. On with something like that.
Truer words are never spoken. Hey, Bill, we want to get in touch with you, read your work. I know it's on Kitco. How do we connect with you on the web?
Well, BlueLineFutures.com, that's our website. Mm-hmm. So if you visit our website, we have a research tab on the top mm-hmm. right. And on that research, if you go in there, there's a free section. You'll be able to sign up. It should pop up there. You sign up for a free trial of our research. It'll be a 14-day complimentary. We do everything from the S&P, gold, crude oil, corn, wheat, soybeans, FX, to lean hogs and cattle. And it goes out daily. We have videos, too. We do a midday market minute updates. So all that's on our website. You can sign up for that there. We encourage you to do that. There's no harm in trying it out. We also just launched our trade alerts. It's a limited risk option strategy. You can see more about that on the website as well.
All right. Hey, just give us the website again.
BlueLineFutures.com.
All right. Hey, any questions, comments, enter the contest. KL@CarrieLutz.com. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Bill, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me on again. I look forward to joining you sometime soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.